of Acts, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. I want to finish my thoughts today on God's usage of ordinary people. God's usage of ordinary people. I choose to believe that somebody here would love to do a marvelous work for the Lord, but you have some concerns about what can you do in light of how ordinary you may feel or how ordinary people have said that you are. If you're in the house, this sermon is for you. I'm trying not to spend much time on those who have no desire to serve the Lord. And I don't want to waste any of my energy on the Pharisees who would raise what I thought was such a silly, irrelevant question. Here was a man born crippled, had lived as a cripple for 40 years, and instead of them saying, praise the Lord, the man is healed, the first thing out of the Pharisees' mouth was, by whose authority have you done this? You know, there are silly people like that in church today who will look past a marvelous moving of God and raise some of the silliest procedural questions that can be discovered. And I've discovered pain does a better job of transforming this crowd than preaching. I came to preach to those who feel as if you're ordinary, but you would love to do an extraordinary work for the Lord. I shared with us on last week, we started to unpack that thesis that we should let God use us in healing others. So I started off with crippledness. I shared with us, yes, there are those who suffer physical crippledness, definitely. But there are other forms of crippledness as well. Too many, not all, but too many of our young people suffer crippledness in the area of education and character. Too many of our women, not all, but too many of our women suffer and are crippled in the area of positive self-esteem, which oftentimes contribute to being disrespected by others. Nobody's going to think more of you than you think of yourself. I shared with you my suspicion, which is not substantiated by any sort of research, it's just my suspicion. If there were as many young white women dying from this HIV/AIDS stuff as there are young black women dying from HIV/AIDS, I think we might be further along in how do we get this thing a little bit more under control. In 2011, one of the leading group of people in new cases of HIV/AIDS and the leading group of people who die from HIV/AIDS are young adult women. crippledness. And then children and men, children and women don't have a market on this thing. Men suffer from crippledness in the criminal justice system. Our criminal justice system seems to be too inclined to incarcerate our men. And then the media compounds the problem by having a disproportionate presentation of how thuggish and irresponsible the black man can be. That's true, but brothers, we don't help ourselves by displaying thuggishness and irresponsibility. Now, the media is not our friend, but we've given them too much stuff to work with. I'm conflicted when I want to go down and talk to the people in charge of the television station about why you find the most unarticulate person in the crowd and put the mic in their face. Why you want to show all of these negative images of the hood. So I want to go down there and jump their case about that. And then almost every day I drive to my office. I drive past 10, 15, 20 young boys with their pants hanging off their behind. It's hard for me to just stay neutral. We've given them too much information. We've given them too much ammunition with which to fight us. There are too many children around here who hug me as if I'm their daddy, because they don't know where their real father is. Brethren, we are not innocent. We may not be as guilty as we've been charged, but there's too much blood on our hand. Crippledness. Now, I want to go a little further today. I brushed up against this last week and told you, whoever is not saved is crippled. I don't care what else you got going for you. If you don't have Jesus, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to find out you got some major, major problem in your life. That ought to be pretty self-explanatory. What I want to push a little further today is the matter of discipleship. Do you know you can be saved but not a disciple of Christ? You can get saved and just be a baby Christian. If you're not careful, your spiritual delayed self will find yourself crippled. Because when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never be satisfied when you are living a carnal life. And if the Spirit is not satisfied, He's not going to let you be satisfied. Yep. Now, I'm talking to somebody right now who think the problem with my satisfaction, the reason I'm not more satisfied with life, because, Reverend, I just don't have enough money in my life. And somebody else would say, the reason I'm not happy and I'm not satisfied is because my health is bad. And then somebody else would take the mic and say, my problem is the relationships I have. People who ought to love me don't love me. And people who don't even know me are always hating on me. I said, the preacher said, these are symptoms of a deeper problem. Because when you are right with Jesus, you can have joy in your heart without a dime in your pocket. When things are well between you and the Lord, you can have peace in the midst of storm. Lord never promised you a stormless life, but He can give you shelter in the midst of your storm. Are you listening to me? He can give you hope in spite of nobody ever being healed from what you are sick with, in the very midst of your worst situation, Dr. Wright would say, even when the brook has dried up, even when you've been diagnosed with leprosy or a butt situation, and even when the storms are raging in your life, the Lord can give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And conversely, on the other side of that coin, when you don't have your business fixed with the Lord, I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about discipleship now. You can be saved without being a disciple. And so that describes many of you. Saved, you know you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but you are just about at the same place you were when you first got saved. And you're trying to figure out why you don't enjoy the worship like you used to and why you still don't feel satisfied. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus is not sitting on the throne of your life, you can have a pocket full of money and still find something to complain about. You can have no pain nowhere in your body and you're still not satisfied. You can come home to a loving spouse. You can watch over productive children. You can go to the job and people recognize and appreciate your contribution, and you still find something to complain about. And you will always treat symptoms until you hear what the preacher is talking about. You need to make sure that Jesus is not only in your life, but on the throne of your life. Until he gets on the throne, there will be some crippledness, even if it's psychological crippledness. Then I move to tell you about ordinary. If we measure ordinary by educational attainment or wealth, 90% of America is ordinary. But I shared with you that some ordinary people just have more stuff. Y'all remember that? Some of us think that everybody who got more stuff must be extraordinary. And I said, nope. They're not all of that. They're ordinary people that just got some more stuff. And if they can't handle what God has given them, the same God who gave can take away, and then you will see that they are no better than you are. They just have more stuff than you have. Are you listening to me? I shared with us, your greatest challenge may be your lack of trust in God. Somebody think the reason you can't serve God at a high level is because of your ordinariness. And I'm telling you, that is not your greatest challenge. Your greatest challenge is your lack of trust in God, because God loves to take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. In fact, you are on the right road, going the right way, if you can humble yourself and appreciate the fact you're right, you are ordinary. But David was ordinary. You remember he was watching over his daddy's sheep. But when he put his ordinary self in the hands of God, God turned a watcher of sheep into the king of all of Israel. You remember James and John were ordinary. They were on their daddy's boat, tending their daddy's business. But when the Lord got his hands on them, took them from being fisher of fish and turned them into fisher of men. And I'm telling you, what God has done in the life of others, he can do the same thing in your life. Your problem is not you haven't been called to preach. Your problem is not you can't sing like Joy, you can't sing like Bear. That's not your problem. Your problem is you don't understand that God loves to take ordinary people like you and me and do extraordinary things in and through our lives. And then finally, I shared with us that there are other ways of measuring ordinary beyond education, beyond wealth. There are categories such as courage. Without a dime in your pocket, you can be courageous enough to tell a dying world that I know a Savior who can save the worst of us. Without a dime in your pocket, you can be in this category of being with the Lord. And the greatest measure, the greatest evidence of you being with the Lord is that you learn how to love one another. You can memorize 50 scriptures and still be just as hateful as you can be. And nobody would describe you as being with the Lord. Do you know smart people, but you would never describe them as being with the Lord? Don't be looking around. Y'all got to learn how to be more discreet. Y'all just be saying, yeah, Reverend, like, run up. No, don't do that. This is the simple question. Do you know people in church? Just keep looking at me. Don't be looking around. Do you know people in church who you may describe as smart? You may describe them as nice dressers. You may describe them as having a lot of years in church, but you would never describe them as somebody who's been with the Lord? Wow. And so I was setting us up for this Bring a Friend Sunday. I'm telling you that the Lord wants some folk saved, and he oftentimes want to use us to help them get saved. Now, today I want to talk about healing. So that was a review. I want to talk about healing now. And there's four things I want to tell you about healing. Y'all with me? Here's the first thing I want to tell you about healing. God wants people to be healed. God wants people to be healed. He's so concerned about our spiritual healing that according to John 3:16, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He was so concerned about our material healing that Matthew 6:33 says that if we would seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he would add to us all of the things that we need. And when our relationships are in trouble, what a marvelous text we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, where it talks about how Jesus is married to the church. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That Jesus is married to the church. Thank you, Deacon Jones. And so whoever else have left you, whoever else has dogged you, it's good to know that Jesus stays right there with you. Are y'all listening to me? Don't let the devil distract you. Sister's in good hands. Now, many of us would like to think that President Obama cares about us, sees our plight, doing everything he can to help us. How many of y'all believe that? Yeah. But if the truth was told, President Obama is not God. He does not see all that we're going through. He does not have all power. There are some things that's wrong with you that the president, the federal government, cannot fix in your life. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Then there are some multi-billionaires who could do more to help you, but they don't know you like that. They don't care enough about you to finance those things that you need in your life. But listen to God. God says, I see you. Eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He's an omnipresent God. He's everywhere at the same time. And he said, I am love. I don't just love. He said, I am love. The very essence of God's being is love. And therefore, whatever is going on in your life, and come on, let's tell the truth. Somebody in here going through something. Whatever you're going through, listen to what the preacher is saying. God cares about you. And he wants you healed. He don't want you always drinking tears for water. He don't want you always crippled over, be it in your mind, be it in your relationship, be it in your finances. God is working all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. God wants people to be healed. But secondly, God often uses his people in the healing of crippled people. How does God heal these people? God didn't come down from heaven and heal the crippled man at Gate Beautiful. He used Peter and John. God often uses his people in the healing of crippled people. Now you remember in Mark chapter 6, 12 and 13, how the Lord moved through the disciples to clean and minister to those who had an unclean spirit. I like that phrase because many of us are so sophisticated now, we can't get with demons and devils. That's too mythological for us. We don't like to be talking about no demon and devils, even though y'all be going to all them horror movies and keeping you up at night. But you don't want no demons. But the most sophisticated person must agree there is a thing called an unclean spirit. A depressed spirit is unclean. An anxious spirit is unclean. The pathological liar has an unclean spirit. The habitual complainer has an unclean spirit. And thanks be unto God, the Lord has a habit of sending people to minister to the unclean spirit. Let me drop this on your plate here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. A beautiful passage of scripture. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Walk with me now. The God of all comfort. What does he do? Who comforts us in our time of trouble. So God don't just have comfort, but he uses that comfort to comfort us in our time of trouble. Keep going. It says, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Look at that now. God is a God of comfort. He comforts us with his comfort in our time of trouble so that we can comfort somebody else in their time of trouble with the comfort that the God of comfort comforted us with. In other words, God oftentimes blesses us so we can be a blessing to somebody else with the blessing that he just gave us. In other words, when you look at your life and you see that there is a surplus of blessings, sometimes that's not so you can build a bigger barn for yourself, but sometimes the Lord has sent you extra so you can give it to those who have a deficit. God wants to work through your life and through my life to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, if you got that point, you ought to be asking yourself the question, self, what kind of good works do I have? Because judgment is coming. And when judgment comes, we can't go up there as a group. We're not going to have a banner saying Southern Baptist Church, and we all lined up and gathered around the banner talking about we on the Southern plan, we're in the Southern group. You ever go to the restaurant and in a party, you're trying to get in a party, you're trying to get in that party plan, and I'm with this group. No, it ain't no group plan. When you get to judgment, you got to stand by yourself. I got to stand by myself. And I'm asking you, when you stand, what do you think you have going for you? I hope you don't get up there and say some stuff like, well, Lord, you know I can't preach. And you know I can't sing. And you know I used to do this and I used to do that. All that stuff gonna get you in trouble. Can I help you? Let me at least see, can I get you a cap? Even if I can't get you a crown, let me see, can I at least get you a cap so you won't be walking around with nothing on your head when you get up there. You can at very least invite people and try to bring them to church so they can get hooked up with Jesus. You can do that. You can smile once you get here. I know you're busy. I know you're tired. I know you're this. I know you're that. But everybody can smile. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he said everybody can smile. Are they smiling at you? Anybody not smiling? Raise your hand if you're sitting next to somebody that's not smiling. You can smile. You can smile. You can have some energy in worship. I don't know why you would come to worship and go to sleep. If you was that tired, you could have stayed home. It would have been much more comfortable in your bed than in our chair. And so since you're here, you might as well go and get your praise on. I mean, you wouldn't go to the movie and just get comfortable and go to sleep. Some of y'all say, I do. Well, that just shows how crazy you are, baby. Why would you pay to go fall asleep in the chair? $8, $9. Lord, keep my mind on my sermon right here. You can invite and bring. You can be friendly. You can be energetic and worship. You better work on something on your list, because I promise you this is going to be on the test. I'm moving now. Here's number three. Third thing I want to tell you about this healing is God can still perform miracles. I said God still performs miracles. I told you God wants to heal people. I told you God oftentimes uses his people in healing crippled people. Here's the third thing I'm telling you. God still performs miracles. You heard about how he took a schoolboy's lunch and fed over 5,000. You heard about how David took a stone, just one stone in a slingshot, and was able to destroy the giant of a man by the name of Goliath. But there's another text that talks about miracles in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 says, I plant the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. You ought to get a little closer to that text. It said one person just put a seed in the ground. The other person didn't even put the seed in the ground. He just watered the seed that was already in the ground. The seed by itself was nothing. The water by itself was nothing. The water and the seed were nothing. But God came by and performed a miracle and took a wet seed in the ground and made it grow. The reason you ought to get excited about God's miracle-making ability is because if you think you're ordinary and you don't have much to offer, that's really what God likes to use. Because when you think you're all of that, then God has to compete for the glory. Somebody ought to help me up in here. When you think you are somebody, then when it's time for glory to be distributed about the good work, you got your chest stuck out like you have done something. But when you come to the situation realizing you are ordinary, you have nothing to offer but a seed, and you see this great big tree growing, you got enough sense to know that's not me, that must be the Holy Ghost who have made this thing happen. It's not my glory. All of the glory belongs to the Lord. So then as we come off of this revival week, I would pray that you've been inspired to do something. But somewhere around this time, the devil start making our memory fuzzy. We began to forget the sermons. The emotionalism began to rub off. And in a couple of more days, surely a couple of more weeks, you would have forgotten all about when the brook dries up. You will have forgotten all about leprosy and having butt situations in your life. And surely by the time Christmas come here, Wright would have to re-preach the whole sermon about how the Lord can get you through stormy situations. So then before the devil takes all of the inspiration away, I'm trying to get you to go head on and plant the seed. Get it out of your hand and into the heart of somebody. There's somebody in your circle who needs to hear your ordinary testimony. They need to know that no matter how low you may be, the same God who picked me up can pick you up as well. They need to know that what God has done for others, He's able to do the same thing for them. And it may not seem like you're doing much. And the truth is, you may not be doing much. But God can take your little bit and perform a miracle. And people who were born crippled live for 40 years with crippledness, can get up jumping and shouting about the goodness of the Lord. Now, the last thing I want to tell you about healing is how serving the Lord pays off. Y'all gonna go with me on this last point? I said serving the Lord pays off. I don't want you to be surprised. Sometimes you can give your very best in service. And the people you have struggled to try to help won't even turn around and say thank you. Most of you would never receive a dime for your faithful service. Many of you will not receive a plaque or a certificate where people say thank you for a job well done. And therefore, you might be sitting there wondering, well, Reverend, what's in it for a brother? What's in it for a sister? Let me tell you what's in it. Serving the Lord will pay off. Did you hear me? Now, I know some of y'all don't get excited when I tell you He'll put bread on your table, because you already have bread in your cupboard. And if I told you He could put clothes on your back, some of you would not be too excited about that, because you already have closets full of clothes. And so let me go on up a little bit higher and tell you what else the Lord can provide. He can give you joy down in your soul. Do you hear me? And there's somebody here. You're not worried about your bills, and you're not worried about your health, but you can't remember the last time you had some joy. I know it might be painful, but come on and walk with me here. There are those whose birthdays come and go, and they never enjoy the day. Christmas comes and Thanksgiving comes, and they find nothing to smile or be joyful about. But let me tell you about what the Lord can do. He can give you joy down in your sitting of your sanctified soul. Am I right about it? And not only joy, I got to tell you about peace. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Ain't God all right? Now, He may not explain Himself to your satisfaction, but look what God can do. He can give you peace with unanswered questions. He can give you peace with an irrational situation. And you know, maybe all the people in your life always make good sense to you. But in my life, I got some stuff going on that don't make any sense at all. But look what the Lord can do. He can give me peace even though I still don't understand. And I love God for that. You know, one of the flaws of formal education, they would have you believe that if you study hard enough, you can understand just about anything. They would have you believe that the more paper you put on your wall, then the more likely it is you're going to have an explanation. But listen, let me tell you, there's some stuff we just don't understand. And there's some things we just cannot explain. But what I love about God is he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I gotta leave you, children, but I wanna put the word of the Lord in your spirit. I know I've been a little long today, but I wanna read the word. Come go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's already at work within us. And God, all right, he's able to do more. I dare you say more. To do more than whatever you ask. Now come on and think about all of the things that you can ask God for. And the Bible says he's able to do immeasurably more than we ask him for. Did you hear me? And then, y'all, there are some things we can't call by name, but we know what we mean when we think about them. Look what the Bible says. He's able to do more than we can ask or we can imagine. Thank God, all right. I'm trying my best to get you to see that serving the Lord will pay on. Yes, my Lord. I gotta keep moving, children. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has eyes can see what God has prepared for those who love him. I gotta keep moving, children, but please, please give me a minute on that evening. The Bible says he already prepared more than what eyes have seen, more than what ears have heard, and more than what your mind can conceive. I gotta keep moving, children. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans, not just one plan, but he got plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And what I love, I said, what I love about my Lord is not only does God have plans, but he has collateral to back up his plan. Some sister here can testify, a man can promise you anything in the heat of the moment, but when the moment has passed, he cannot produce, because he don't have the collateral for his plan. But what I love, what I love, what I love, what I love about my Lord is he got promises and collateral. I gotta keep moving, children. Luke chapter 18, 29 and 30, the Bible says, I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one has left home, left wife, left brothers, left parents, or left children for my sake of the kingdom of God, who fell to receive many times as much in this age, in the age to come, eternal life and God all right. In other words, whatever you've given up for the Lord, he promised to give it back to you many times more. Thank God, all right. Yes, children, I'm sorry to hold you so long, but I gotta get it out of me. Jude, verse 24, this is the last scripture. I said Jude 24 says, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before
His glory is present without fault and with great joy. Listen what the Bible says. Jesus, our elder brother, is able to keep you and to keep me from falling. And God, all right. Now, maybe you don't have a problem with falling, but I got excited when I heard the Bible saying that God is able to keep me from falling, because I know me. I'm tempted to fall sometime, and what I love about Jesus is he won't push me down and step on me like some of y'all will, but Jesus, he'll be right there, and when he see me falling, look what Jesus will do. He'll snatch me up and keep me from falling. How I love Jesus. He keeps me, from falling. And then he's going to take me to my daddy before his glory is present. And when I get there, look how Jesus is going to hook me up. He's going to present me without fault. Oh, shucks him. I said he's going to present me without fault. Now, you know me. I got some fault in me. So how in the world can I stand before daddy faultless? That's what happened on that hill called Calvary. All of that blood came streaming down to wash away all of my faults. And God, all right, and not only faultless, but the Bible says with great joy. That's it, children. Thank you for bearing with me. I just had to get it out of my spirit. I'm all right. I've been sitting here listening to preaching for 3 nights. It is something about good preaching that make you want to preach. So Wright preached all he wanted on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. But I made sure Saturday night I got good rest, because early Sunday morning I wanted to come back to my preaching place and tell somebody the Lord is able to keep your children. He's able to give you strength. He's able to give you power. Anybody here? Anybody in here ever tried my Lord? Don't mind today. Just tell somebody I tried him. It is all right with me. Go on and tell somebody I tried the Lord. He's all right with me. All right with me. All right with me. Yes. Yes. Ooh, yeah. Yeah! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Has he done anything for you lately? Has he done anything for you lately to give you that blessed assurance that it's going to be all right? Does anybody feel it in your soul is going to be all right? Anybody here going through something you can't see your way, but you just believe it's going to be all right? Don't it feel good to know that you know that you know is going to be all right? Oh, bless his name. I wanted to make sure I told you that no matter how ordinary you feel, God can do extraordinary things in and through your life if you would just put it in the Master's hands. He has miracle-making hands. He can take your little bit, perform a miracle, and heal folk who are born crippled. There's people in your life, who need to get themselves in the Lord. There are people in your life who need Jesus. People in your life who need to get in church before it's too late. And I just honestly believe that the Lord is moving on the altar of your soul to be the person to plant the seed, to be the person that watered the seed. You don't have to go preach a whole sermon. You don't have to go tell them 50 scriptures. You don't have to go bust them in the head with your Bible. Just plant a seed and trust God to provide the increase. Trust God. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come and get right with God. If you're here and know you need to get right with God, just step out of the aisle and come on. Man, woman, boy, girl, the door is open. You don't have to leave here the same way you came. You can come right now. Just step out of the aisle and come on. Just step out in the aisle and come on right now. If you know you need to come, would you come now? The door is open. The invitation is extended to you.